I'm speaking with Joe Forsman, who's a senior marketing manager for Pioneer. And we're going to be talking a little bit about what Pioneer is doing as far as getting corn hybrids for higher ethanol yields.
Well, Cindy, we're taking a kind of a holistic approach to that. We're looking at that end use in the processing of corn grain for ethanol. We've characterized our hybrids through a proprietary assay where we can distinguish between the fermentability of the starch. Today in our lineup, we got 135 hybrids that are considered high total fermentable, and 17 out of our top 20 volume leaders are in fact that. At the same time, you know, when you deliver a bushel of corn into an ethanol plant, 17 pounds of it comes out as a distiller's grain. So the livestock complex and the energy complex is very much married together. So we're looking at ways that we can help improve the value of the plant, but also at the feedlot as well. We expect to see the ethanol production double between now and 2010, 2011. And so besides, you know, creating hybrids that yield more, we're also looking at the fermentability and then developing and integrating the science coming out of DuPont Biofuels around the cellulosic ethanol that we have a project with the Department of Energy that we're working on to make scientific breakthroughs there so that we can use more of that corn plant. You know, we think we can drive ethanol yields, you know, from the 500-gallon, 4 to 500-gallon level up to, you know, maybe over 900 gallons when you start integrating it with cellulosics as well.
We had the big announcement this year about biobutanol. Where is that going?
Well, we are excited about the prospects for biobutanol. And really the breakthrough technology there is the proprietary bacteria that DuPont has been able to modify and increase the throughput of butanol per bushel of corn that it ferments. You know, we do believe that the assets that are in place already that make ethanol will be able to make butanol. We're in the process right now of building the first plant in Europe. We'll see production by the end of next year. And again, what that's going to do is expand the demand opportunity for the corn-based renewable fuel complex. Because butanol's got some characteristics that are different than ethanol. You don't have the miles per gallon hit. You can pipeline it. It just is going to address some of the issues that I think limits the demand for ethanol. So we are excited about it.
Now, how's the partnership? The BP is your partner.
That's
on
correct.
That one. How is that going?
It's going well. I mean, from everything that I'm hearing, you know, the milestones are being met, and the working relationship is growing. I mean, I think that's one of the interesting opportunities in agriculture based on this renewable energy is you're going to see industry starting to merge a little bit closer together and work together. And I think that's really good for production agriculture. I mean, you know, you can just feel it and sense it in the not only the countryside but in the urban areas that, you know, everybody's pulling and wants to see this be successful.
Now, how do you think that the hybrids and the technology that's being developed is going to help address the food versus fuel issue? Do you think that will help address that issue?
We do, because as I mentioned earlier, we're mindful of the fact that when you take a bushel of corn into an ethanol plant, you're also creating a feedstock for livestock industry. And, you know, we're working on ways that, you know, that we can enhance the value of those DDGs, whether it's through increase in oil, add more energy through higher levels of oil back into the distiller's grain, or actually including things like amino acids in the corn crop so that when that distiller's grain's used in the feed ration, it's a more potent, higher performing product in that ration.
In terms of yield, how high do you think it could go, yield per acre for corn? How high is the sky the limit?
Boy, you know, that's an interesting question, and we've seen producers, you know, raise some pretty, on small plots, some pretty outrageous yields. With the genetic advancements that's been made over the last 10 years in the industry, it literally, I think the sky is the limit. We're getting smarter about where we place hybrids, and I think that really, when it comes right down to it, we've had some genetic gains here, but I think there's some opportunities from a placement standpoint. So as producers work closer with Pioneer agents, they'll be able to be even smarter about how they place hybrids based on soils and be able to make transitions if the equipment modifications come. more easily than just filling the planter with one hybrid on one side, one hybrid on the other side. So I think we are going to see big steps there, and there definitely are production gains that can be had there, we believe.
Well, one of the things I thought was interesting, especially about the last 2 years when we're looking at our corn production, even though we had a drought situation in a good part of the country,
yes,
we are still looking at the second largest corn crop ever. Do you see more of that? How far can we go in terms of drought tolerance for corn?
Well, I think drought tolerance, nitrogen utilization, you know, both of those are going to be key factors for us to continue to develop and bring to the marketplace. I think your example of 2005 crop across northern Illinois down through Missouri demonstrates it. Without really talking about it, the industry has made great strides in drought tolerance already, and we are just scratching the tip of that iceberg. You know, so I think that you know, when you bring to bear the science and the realization that we got to rise as an agriculture community to the increased demand, I think we're really going to surprise ourselves on just how effective we can be in growing the amount of corn that we need and get to that 15 billion bushel water line that people are starting to talk about.
All right. Thank you very much.